Well, hello and welcome again to another installment of the verse-by-verse Bible teaching that is delivered to you by the business of the Wash and Word. If you don't know, the Wash and Word is a hand car washing business in Church Hill. And there, me, Matthew Monona, and my wife, Victoria, we own and operate the hand car washing business, and we do it. I'd like to say for one reason, and that would be to get God's word out there. That's the main reason, but there's two reasons why we do it. One is to get God's word out there, and two is, you know, we kind of like a roof over our heads, and we like to have food on our tables. So, yes, this is how we earn our money, but we are self-supported as a ministry. It's the way we want to do it. It's the way we decided to do it. And if you are pro verse-by-verse Bible teaching, if you believe that God's entire counsel is so vitally important to the Christian individual and to the church corporately, if you are on board with that, can you support us? And by that, I mean, just come by. Let us work to earn the money. Let us wash your car. Let us clean it out inside out. Let us do a full detail on it. We do a great job. We've got great reviews. You know, hopefully you've heard by word of mouth that we do a good job, you know, and we do it because we work for the Lord. You know, we wash cars as unto the Lord. And before we get back into our teaching, I just want to tell you a few ways you can listen to these verse by verse Bible teachings. You can go to washandword.com, which is our website. It's wash, the letter N, word.com, and click on the media tab. We have all of our messages archived there. You can go to WMCH 1260 AM radio Monday through Friday at 8:30 a.m. That's when these sermons air on the radio. We also play them on a loop 24/7 in the parking lot. So all you got to do is come by, whether you get your car washed or not, turn on 107.1 FM here in the parking lot, and you can listen to these verse-by-verse Bible teachings as well. And finally, I am now preaching verse-by-verse messages live once a week on Sunday nights at 6 o'clock. That is at Abundant Life Fellowship. You'll find us on, I think it's 405 Old Union Road in Church Hill over by the public swimming pool. So if you want to hear live verse-by-verse Bible teachings, just head on over to Abundant Life Fellowship and Sunday at 6 p.m. We're currently going through the book of Matthew there. But as for this radio program, we are going through the book of Ecclesiastes. We just finished chapter 9. It's been a whirlwind. I think we spent 6 messages talking about chapter 9. Solomon went from government and government disobedience in chapter 8 to talking about death in chapter 9 to finishing up with talking about wisdom in chapter 9 and also as we head into chapter 10. But it's been some great messages, and I can say that confidently because it is never the messenger, it's always the message. You know, and I can stand here with enough humility to say that those were good messages because God, you know, God gave me the words to say, and I give Him all the glory. It's not prideful if you know that God is the one doing all the work, and God's getting all the glory. So I encourage you to go back, listen to chapter 9. There were some good messages that God delivered there. All right, let's go ahead and get into verse 10. Chapter 10. And we're going to read verse 18 of 9 because it kind of flows right into chapter 10. All right, if you have your Bibles open, let's take a look at verse 18 in chapter 9 and head into chapter 10. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. Let's stop right there. Before we go on, I've got to tie in last message with where we are right now. And we're in the process of going through a discovery of what a God-pleasing and a personal fulfilling life looks like and how we are to achieve a life that is pleasing to God and fulfilling to self. And we talked about how the gospel, the truth, has always pushed forward through history, and it will continue to prod forward regardless of how much evil or wickedness or lies that the world is throwing out there. Truth will continue on, and men and women who hold on to that truth will continue into history or the future or eternity along with that truth. But getting back to a God-pleasing, fulfilling life, well, it starts by first recognizing that quiet wisdom will go the distance in a fight against popular rhetoric. And again, this ties to what Solomon was saying in verse 17, where he's saying that the quiet words of a wise person are more to be heeded than the shouts of the rulers of fools. So to live a God-pleasing, fulfilling life starts by recognizing that quiet wisdom will always go the distance in a fight with popular rhetoric. Now, this is a sort of a boxing metaphor when you talk about going the distance. I'm sure many of you know the household name Mike Tyson, but I followed his career and when he was at his prime, and man, most of the people that he fought were knocked out. And not only that, but they were knocked out early. But very few people went the distance or took him into some later rounds. And when they finally did, well, everyone knows what happened with Buster Douglas. They knocked him out. And that's what steadily advancing the truth means. That's what Jesus is saying when he says that the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing and forceful men lay hold of it. He's talking about the staying power, going the distance, prodding on, pushing through. We are to use force when promoting and prodding and pushing the truth into a hedonistic society. We are to use force, listen, but not violence. You have to use force. The truth isn't just going to go out there and make a big splash, because the loud rhetoric of the lies will always outvocal the truth. So we have to push forward forcefully. We have to sound off, but we don't have to scream. We have to speak truth, but we don't have to obligate others to listen. This is why we must be strong and brave and courageous and long-suffering in these dark days that are to come. Because when all the fanfare fades and the game is over and the bell has rung and the cheerleaders have gone home and the stadium has emptied, there will still be a voice, a herald, a time-tested, battle-hardened remnant that bears the truth, and it bears it upon its back like Jesus bearing the cross upon his. Man, how powerful is that voice of wisdom and that voice of truth? How powerful? Well, we just read it. More powerful than weapons. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. Look at verse 1 in chapter 10. As dead flies give perfume a bad smell, so a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. Well, that's pretty clear cut, isn't it? Wisdom is greater than the weapons of war, even the greatest weapons of war. Speaking truth trumps war-minded individuals set on inciting change through blood. But there's also a warning attached here. We must guard the truth with diligence and fierce protection, because a little leaven, as Jesus said, will spoil the whole batch. That's why he says a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor, and dead flies overtakes the smell of perfume. Solomon is wise. He's so wise that he knows wisdom must be guarded. It must be carefully protected. It must be carried and lifted up and used and exercised. Wisdom is a quiet voice, powerful, more powerful than weapons, but it must be elevated. It must be used. He's saying, don't pollute the truth. Don't water down the truth. Don't compromise the truth with the world today. And that is a lesson and a word for you pastors and preachers that are out there. Don't let the world compromise your message. Don't let the world compromise the truth, because it's only, as Solomon said earlier, to your own detriment.
We have to carry the truth. Why? Because it has to be pure. Wisdom or God's word, the gospel, truth, it's so pure and so powerful that it must remain unspoiled. And that is why the Bible's clear. It says that teachers are going to be judged more harshly, more strictly. Paul told Timothy, encouraged him, said to rightly divide the word. Paul knew the preciousness of the truth, the preciousness of the gospel and of the kingdom. And he warned Timothy to divide it rightly, to keep it pure. We hold a most valuable treasure. Possessors of the truth. We are the possessors of the most prized possession in the world. The most valuable treasure. And it must be regarded as such and protected. And do not think it unfair that God would put to death those who try to steady the ark. Do not think it unmerciful that God would command the eradication of nations, including children and infants and animals. Do not think it unjust that God would kill Eli's own sons for showing contempt for the sacrifices of the Lord. Do not think it too harsh that Moses' punishment for striking the rock twice. And do not judge others like myself when I call out various ministers or religions and teachers for the false teachers that they are. Listen, more than one person in my times, in my years of preaching, have stopped listening to me in the wake of calling out a certain name, a particular person or a denomination or a church that were trying to add leaven to the gospel. I do not apologize, and I never will, because Paul did it, Jesus did it, and we have to continue to do it, because a little leaven spoils the batch. Keep wisdom pure. Keep truth pure. Keep it all under the protection of God and advance it forcefully if necessary. See, all those examples that I just gave of God doing what seemed to be ungodly things, you know, putting children to death and killing men just because they wanted to steady the ark so it wouldn't fall. And, you know, all of these things, warning John in Revelation not to change a word. God knew how important it was to keep his word completely spotless. That is why the church needs to be spotless as a bride, because Jesus was a spotless lamb. These things that we were just mentioning, they were the pre-Christ representation of the pure word of God that would one day and has indeed flowed from the throne of heaven itself. Well, as we move on into chapter 10, we're going to see that these next verses that are in chapter 10 are more like proverbs. They move a little faster. They're a little quicker, and there's a lot less application involved in them. And so we'll just go ahead and pick that up in our next message. But for now, I just want to thank you for listening, and I want to tell you about a book that I've written. It's called The Tearing Down of America. It's spelled T-A-R-I-N-G, and it's a play on words based on the parable of the wheat and the tares. You can get that book by going to the website washandword.com, and you can order it there, or you can go to amazon.com. It's published under the Kindle section. You can type in Matthew Mennona, that's M-E-N-N-O-N-A, or you can type in The Tearing Down of America. Again, that's spelled T-A-R-I-N-G. And this book just kind of gives a good background of where our philosophy as a ministry is, and what has happened in the church scene based on the observations through the last desert period the Lord has allowed us to walk through. Anyway, just promoting that a little bit. You can also come join me for live verse-by-verse Bible teaching Sunday nights at 6 p.m. at Abundant Life Fellowship on Old Union Road by the
community swimming pool in Churchill. Have a blessed day.